You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. You're an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCT. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome back to Section 31, episode number 2.
How you doing, Dan?
Not bad, Rogue. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We had a pretty successful tournament this weekend, I think.
What have we got on tap for today? We got tournament results, we've got contest results, an interrogation. What are we going to start with?
Well, since we're already on the subject, why don't we talk about the tournament results?
All right. Starting off, on February 16th, there was a tournament in Yorktown, Virginia. It was 1E constructed, 4 players came out, and first place went to Charles Barheit, and second place went to Nick Macrino.
And on February 23rd, there was a tournament, 2E constructed, for 5 rounds in Klagenfurt, Austria. They had 9 players. Coming in first was Helmut Auberger. Pretty sure I've traded with him before. Name sounds familiar. And coming in second is Christian Wenger.
On February 23rd, in Hof, Germany, there was a 2E constructed tournament with 5 players. Johannes Klarhauser took first. Dian Vuledic took second. Interestingly enough, first and second places were taken by Borg decks.
The Borg. Well, on February 24th, there was a tournament in Lansing, Michigan, 1E constructed this time. Gotta love that old 1E. They played 3 rounds with 4 players. First place went to username Altoid with a Vidian Standard Orbit Klim Dukachin Genitronic Replicators Partial Battle Deck. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Dukachin. Klim Dukachin.
And second place went to White Star 29 with a Romulan Nelvana Trap Battle Deck.
Also, on the 23rd, we had a tournament here in San Diego. It was a second edition Galactic War scenario, 4 rounds. First place went to Matt Kirk, and second went to Rogue Schindler. Galactic War is something we came up with to create a little more interaction during a second edition game. The gist of it is that you can only score 50 points from completing missions. The rest have to be from other sources. You do, however, score points every time you kill an opponent's personnel as a result of combat or an engagement. You get to score points equal to that personnel's 2 highest attributes. And when you discard a personnel's, when you discard an opponent's ship as a result of engagement, you get to score points equal to that ship's attributes. You ended up playing a Borg deck, right?
I did. I was a little hesitant to go for it since it doesn't seem to take a maximum advantage of the Galactic War rules, not getting any points off of killing or blowing up your ships, but it does have the unique assimilation mechanic. It does get a lot of whacking being our ghetto term for taking any of your opponent's personnel out of their command. Doing that certainly gave me enough assimilated personnel so I could score bonus points off of using one with the Borg. Actually, got to give credit to you, Dan, since I pretty much stole your deck from a couple of weeks ago, which was a big Borg assimilation aggro, and sort of modified it for this format, adding a little bit more defense and a few more engagement events. But all in all, had a really great time.
That's fine. I stole my deck idea too. I was playing a Prometheus deck based on James Hoskin. Yes. Matt was playing a Dominion deck. You were playing Unicomplex. I was playing Romulan. We had a
Tarak War,
deck.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty impressive. And then Franklin brought his Ferengi.
The Ferengi battle deck was not quite as impressive.
I'm telling you, they need a 2E 34th rule. Really get those Ferengi aggro going.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Well, I had an entertaining spot in the game with Matt. We had a bit of a fleet battle going. He had moved the Tick, I think, and a Dominion battleship to a location, and I had waiting for me to go attempt a mission, and I brought in the USS Prometheus and a Warbird and a couple of scout vessels, and so we had like 6 ships there just duking it out for a couple turns until the battlecruiser was gone. And I had one.
I've never heard of 6 ships in 1 engagement.
That was fantastic. I think Matt went on to win because he was better at doing missions than my expensive Romulans were. But anyway, yeah, it's a good format. It's when you've had 10 standard construction tournaments in a row and you want to try something different, I'd highly recommend it.
It was fantastic. It's a lot of fun. And don't get too attached to your personnel, folks.
If you're looking for the card that we made to run the format, you can find it on my webpage. It's danhammond.com/objective. And I neglected to spell my name last time. It's danhammand.com.
I've just been informed that a very special guest has been detained for us to interview.
Excellent. Is he in good health? Any ailments we should know about?
I suppose we could just ask him.
Who the hell are you people? What do you want?
Oh, come now, Mr. Blaine. You should know how this works.
We'll be asking the questions, if you don't mind.
Well, I suppose I don't have a choice, do I?
What is your name and occupation within this continuing committee we have heard so much about?
My name is Charlie Plain, and I am the chairman of the continuing committee.
All right, this continuing committee, what does being the chairman entail?
Basically, my job is sort of to provide the creative vision, I guess. Kind of like the president of the Senate, I don't really do much until somebody asks me to do something. You know, make sure that we all get to keep playing this outstanding game as long as we can.
Star Wars continuing committee implement their group of people. They got an official handoff of everything. Are you anticipating that coming up shortly? What is your relationship with Decipher going to be in the future?
The official handoff is one of our top four goals with Decipher. And I want to be clear up front that we are not looking to bite the hand that fed us. Every single person listening to this podcast, involved in this podcast, involved in the continuing committee, may or may not have their issues with how Decipher did things, but we should all be grateful to them because they created this game and they produced this game and they got us all together. You know, we also need to respect that they're a small company now. There's only a handful of them and they're working on some big new thing that, you know, we should cheer them on from the sidelines. But because there's so few of them and they're so busy, this list of things that we've presented to them, you know, there hasn't been a lot of movement on it, which is frustrating. It's frustrating for the community, but it's even more frustrating for me because I can't answer the community. The disadvantage that we have that the Star Wars people didn't have is, you know, they knew well ahead of time that they were losing the license and they were able to put pieces in place and have the handoff ready. While I'm sure Decipher knew a lot longer than before they told us, they didn't share that. They chose not to share that. So we kind of had to act real quickly and then go back and ask for, recognition. And the one thing I do know, I don't know if I've shared this publicly or not, the one thing I do know is that Warren Holland, who's the president of Decipher, he is in favor of what we're doing. He supports what we're doing. So it's not like we're not in a good position. It's just they haven't had the time yet to complete what we've asked and give us the official handoff. But I don't believe that we are in any danger of not being recognized as the continuation of their game.
You've been working on behind the scenes things, server, etc. When do you expect the tournament software to go live?
Expect the tournament system to be up and running, at least the core of it, by early next week. Really, the only reason it's not up and running right now is the instability of our current server.
How far back will it let you tournament directors go?
As of right now, I believe it's limited to 2008.
I think one of the things that players, that I'm looking forward to, I know there are a number of promo cards that have never been available really to the public. Do you expect active playgroups to get their hands on them?
Absolutely. Various inside sources have told me that if we are able to acquire their prize stock, we're just looking at trays and trays and trays of foils, many of which probably have never been released to the public. Once we get an inventory, my immediate plan is to develop a 5-year distribution plan up front. I know that sounds very businessy, but I want to make sure that we are able to provide everyone from the hardcore world championship level players to the guys who play in their living room once a month for the next 5 years.
What do you have minded for prizes as far as Worlds and Continentals this season?
That's still kind of up in the air. We've talked about it some within the committee. Tony Gamble, I don't know if you know him. He's future guy on the message boards. He's he is our market developer, which is a fancy title for guy who goes out and tells people about Star Trek CCG. But he also is responsible for finding sponsorship opportunities. He worked with Thorsten Wanick last year in Europe and had great success. You know, they were getting cases and cases of the latest expansion donated to them. Wow. I have high hopes for Tony to come through and not only return to do that for Europe, but do that for the North American Continentals, the Australian Continentals, the European Continentals, and then the World Championship. So the other question mark is whether or not we'll be able to get any of the prize support from Decipher.
Our intelligence revealed in our last broadcast that this the Undiscovered Country set upcoming does not have any major themes. However, there was a more subtle underlying theme of putting cards under, which should prove interesting. My question to you is, in the further upcoming sets, are there any designs on rocking the boat a little bit more, doing something more drastic, or are we going to get more of the Energize-like sets?
You know, I don't like to talk too much too early about what's going on. We have our 2008 virtual expansion schedule laid out. I know that Brad has put together his team for set 16, which has a code name of Eleanor. Don't ask me why. And then he has started putting together a team for 17. I wouldn't expect anything too outside the box, but what I think you're going to see through 2008 is a continuation of where the game was going with What You Leave Behind.
So what's your favorite card from the next set?
My favorite card from the next set? Wow. Well, you guys ripped me off last week and got that Azitbor spoiler out there. Otherwise, I would have given you one today, but since you stole from me, I'll just give you the title. Keep in mind, this is subject to change, but my favorite card currently in the Undiscovered Country is a card called Debate Over Dinner.
You've mentioned the future a few times. Where do you expect the continuing community to be in a year?
In a year, I hope that we're three or four times as big as we are right now in terms of our membership. Our future is entirely in our hands.
Excellent. Well, Charlie, thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us. We would love to ask you some more questions, but we have to get you back to your shuttle before you're missed.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Got anything for this headache?
We had a contest last week, and we had several people enter. Unfortunately, no one came up with the correct answer. So what we're going to do is we're going to randomly select a winner of the Parek foil from everyone who entered. Jason Deshaw, congratulations. We will require you to send an email to section31@danhammond.com with your address, and I will be sending off this foil to you.
Now, I think part of the problem with the last contest may have been a little bit on our end. What we were trying to get at was to play the most Borg affiliation personnel without playing the Unicomplex, not Borg race, such that you can start playing cards that say you must have three Borg affiliation personnel to play this card, etc. So that is going to be our contest for this week. Email your entries to section31@danhammond.com. That's danhammon.com.
We'll be selecting a random winner from all of the best entries. This time, as a contest prize, we have to give away a shiny no-kill eye foil, the D-Agent exclusive. The collector number is 0P81.
Well, that's just about enough intelligence for this episode. Hey, we want to thank our favorite Star Trek rock band, Warp 11, for giving us permission to use some of their music. If you're wondering where all our guitar riffs and other Star Trek music is coming from, that's them. You can check them out at www.warp11.com or follow the link off of our site. For our producer, Matt Kirk, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And this has been another episode of Section 31. Expand your power in the universe.
I will draw to the end.